Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Cruz Martin here with you on this Monday morning. We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 with us coming at 8 o'clock on the program today, so looking forward to that. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping for homes and businesses that want to stand out, not blend in. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Joe, it was a rough weekend for the Nashville Predators. So they lose Thursday to New Jersey in a game where they really didn't play all that great. You know, we talked about that on Friday, but they made it 2-2 and end up losing in the third period on what I thought was pretty horrific penalty call on Matthew Wood. So that is what it is. Like, you move on from it, you wash your hands of it, and you try to bounce back on Saturday. Saturday is one of the worst games they've played in a long time. They were bad on Saturday. And some of that was them. Some of that was, you know, Montreal is and is going to be really good for a long time. So Montreal, I thought, really just dominated them on Saturday. They didn't get a whole lot going in the offensive zone at all. The Predators didn't. And it was just a bad performance on Saturday at home. I mean, the building was rocking. It was a huge game. Yeah, there were a decent amount of Montreal fans in the building, but a really good atmosphere in the building. And the Predators, I thought, just kind of came out flat in that game, and it didn't go well. So you lose that one. I thought yesterday against Tampa, they played pretty well. Like, you're on the road at a place that's very difficult to win. Now, Tampa was without Nikita Kucherov yesterday, which is a huge break if you could catch it if you're the Predators. He was battling an illness, so you have to keep that in mind. But the Predators, I mean, I think they outshot Tampa like 10-1 or whatever it was in the first period. They were unable to score. You know, they go up 1-0 in the game. They get down 2-1 in the game and then immediately tie it back at 2, and you're feeling good about it. And then a guy who's been a thorn in their side for a long time, Corey Perry, finds a loose puck in the crease yesterday, Joe, and he ends up scoring the game winner for the Lightning. So kind of a double whammy there. You lose the game to the Lightning in a game where, for the most part, I thought you outplayed them on the road, which I did not expect heading into that game. But you don't come away with any points. Corey Perry scores the game winner. And now, Joe, you've lost 3 games in a row after winning the previous 5. You're still in the second wild card spot, but you got a 1-point cushion on LA, who's got a game in hand on you at this point. And by the way, you've only got a 2-point cushion on Seattle, who has 2 games in hand. So the Predators are off until Thursday, and a game against the Kings that was already massive, Joe, has now, in my opinion, turned into a must-win. Like, you got to beat LA on Thursday. You got San Jose Saturday, then you got LA again next Monday. Like, you got to come away, I would say, of those 2 LA games, you need to walk away with 3 or 4 points. That would be how I would put it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's an accurate assessment. And, you know, just overall, in the last few days, it's because we were starting to talk last week about, you know, okay, making the playoffs is a feat enough, but, like, you know, that top wild card is attainable. And the way you're rolling right now, it's starting to get more and more realistic. And now this has been a little bit of splash of cold water in the face here, right? That it's like, okay, so now you're kind of back in the, again, still impressive to be in this spot, given everything that's happened up till now, but you're kind of back in the reality of, like, squeaking in to face Colorado. Still worth doing.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, you know, of course. But it's just been a little bit of a – it's just hard. It's hard in the NHL to just, you know, to be consistent and come up with winning performances like you need to, you know, like the way that they've needed to do to actually get to that spot. So now it's like you kind of set the sights. They don't set the sights downward, but we must on the outside look at it like it's probably going to be wild card 2 if they get in.
And the offense has dried up a little bit here. And, you know, they've, from a shot volume standpoint, it hasn't been going all that great lately. Now, yesterday was good. I mean, they ended up, I think, with 31 shots against Tampa. Again, I thought they had a couple of chances. I mean, Matt Wood rang one off the post that would have tied it at 3 later in the game when they pulled the goalie. I mean, they had a couple of good looks yesterday to tie that thing up and just weren't able to do it. I thought yesterday against Tampa was the best game they've played in a while, and that includes some of the games that they won last week. Like, I thought they played pretty well yesterday, and it just didn't work out. So the question moving forward here is, you know, they've gone back into the line blender a little bit. Like, I think LaRue was playing with Stamkos and O'Reilly yesterday. So they're trying to find it a little bit again right now. And then Halla was playing with Forsberg and Marchessault, so you've seen Matt Wood go down the lineup a little bit. So I understand why, like, the offense had dried up for a few games in a row, so you got to try to do something if you're Andrew Brunette. But now the question is, can you find a combination that works again quickly enough, right? Like, they've got, I would assume, a day off today. I think they're practicing tomorrow. They're flying out on Wednesday to L.A., and that's just a huge game. I mean, it's L.A. Thursday, San Jose Saturday, L.A. Monday, Anaheim Tuesday, Utah next Thursday. I mean, you got five games in a row here that are just massive. And Anaheim's not directly – you're not directly competing with them, but, I mean, that Pacific Division is so close that anything can shuffle by the time they get around there. So – and we'll get into another move that a Pacific Division team made yesterday here in just a second. But just a huge game coming up on Thursday, and they got to find a way to get the offense going again.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking eight games here left. And as we talked about already, the kind of ridiculous travel situation. I mean, this is like, you know, like sometimes you get these road trips that can turn a season around, you know, usually earlier in a year. We've talked about that before with Nashville Predators teams, and this is like just the West Coast, you know, go strike out west and see if you can do enough to, you know, to get in. I mean, it's really a weird trip, but it's a huge trip.
Yep, and, you know, Onanen had a tough break yesterday. There was a shot from the point by Tampa that hit some bodies in front, and he had no idea where the puck was. I mean, he was looking to his left. The puck actually landed over to his right, and Jake Guentzel, I mean, he had a wide-open net. And before that, like, the Predators were up 1-0. They had a couple of chances. Like, Stamkos in the first period had a great look in the slot that he didn't get all of that I thought was going top shelf. And had he scored there, I mean, the place would have gone nuts. I mean, you're going back to Tampa, and – they were talking about this. I was actually watching the Tampa broadcast yesterday, and they were talking about what a big save that was, because had he scored, you'd have had 17,000 people in there just going crazy had he scored that goal there. So it's a big stop by Tampa there on that play. And it just leaves you looking at the standings now. I mean, we mentioned people around them not playing well when they were winning all these games. Well, L.A. and Utah played Saturday. That was a huge game. And after the Predators lost, I was looking around, and, you know, we were talking to some people in the media room, and I was like, they probably need to be rooting for Utah to hold off some of the back pressure here. And Utah hammered L.A. It was 6-2 was the final score. But L.A. is in the midst right now of this homestand. It's weird what's going on. Like, the Predators are out on the road forever right now. L.A., they played on the road Saturday. And then they're back at it against the Predator. Excuse me, a home Saturday. That started, let's see here, a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-game homestand at the end of the year. Tampa's in the middle of a 7-game homestand, who the Predators just saw yesterday. And the L.A. is in the middle of a 7-game homestand right now, including two against the Predators. Like, how that happens at the end of the year is amazing to me.
I don't think I've ever heard of a 7-game homestand.
There it is. You got two of them going on right now. Tampa's got one. L.A.'s got one.
And the Preds are just Northern California, Southern California, just to keep taking the shuttle back and forth.
Exactly.
Take the monorail.
Exactly.
Weird. Yeah, you know, the so you're looking at, what, 5-point difference here, with eight games to play, you know, when you're talking about Utah.
Yeah,
so,
it's not impossible, you know. But yeah, you play them once, so, like, if you win the game, you play them. That's obviously helps, but they're dead even in games played now, and it's more to me about, can you hold on to wild card two rather than get the wild card one?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's reality. you do get the win. So that's so okay. Let me see, try to do math in real time. So then you'd be talking about if you presume a win, which of course is the only way there's any chance at all, then you'd be talking about 7 points, or I'm sorry, 7 games and a 3 point difference. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, it's possible
It
still.
is.
Because to me, again, that's just like makes it twice as interesting, at least, you know, if you got that one. But probably going to have to just try to hold on to eight.
Well, and an absolutely massive game against LA coming up on Thursday. And in the meantime, you're looking at LA's schedule here, and I will pull that back up. But I mentioned the 7-game homestand that they're on. They got a lot of games against Pacific Division teams. Well, they got a game coming up on, let's see here, Wednesday against St. Louis. So the good news for the Predators is LA will have played the night before against you coming up on Thursday. They don't have to travel anywhere though because it's at home.
Yeah, but back to back could be helpful to you.
Yep, exactly. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Tough weekend for the Preds. They are 1 point up on LA when it comes to the second wild card spot in the Western Conference. We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Preds lose both games over the weekend. One to Montreal, one to Tampa Bay. They got a huge game coming up on Thursday against LA. April in Portland on the text line says, I feel like they have to win or at least get a point in the remaining games to be at a wild card, and that's if we're lucky. If they had to lose games, they lost the right ones because they're in a different conference, so I'm hoping and praying they could win out. I'm not sure why Justin Barron's in the lineup. Bruno should not go 11 forwards and 7 D again. Barron should be on the bench the rest of the season unless he has to play due to an injury. Record shows that these two things do not work in the Preds' favor. I'm very interested to see with the new general manager if Justin Barron is going to be on the team next year. My guess is probably not. He's a restricted free agent, so you've got to – a situation to work out there. But my guess is he's probably not going to be back.
And my guess is Nashville Predators fans will be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be fine with it. It's been a little bit more of a rough guy. Ryan Ufko started hot. We see this happen a lot in the NHL, Joe.
Yep.
You come in, you start off great, and then you start to get overwhelmed a little bit. I think the last few games that Ufko had been in there were a little bit rough. And I think you started to see that, so he gets replaced yesterday in the lineup. But, long term, there's a lot to like about what he's shown to this point, but it started to look a little bit overwhelming for Ryan Ufko. So we'll see if that changes down the stretch here as well. How about Vegas yesterday, Joe? So Vegas, I'm watching the Preds game, and all of a sudden I look down, and it was actually Emma Lingen sent me a tweet from the Vegas Golden Knights account that I had to like double check and make sure it was real. And it turns out it was. They fired their coach, Bruce Cassidy, who has won a Stanley Cup, who is a very good coach. But Vegas fires him yesterday and replaces him with John Tortorella.
Hordes.
3 weeks before the playoffs start. Now, I've seen coaches, Joe, get fired this late into a season, typically on teams that are out of it and are not going to the playoffs. I don't recall – I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I don't recall seeing this before where a team that is in a playoff spot with like 3 weeks left in the regular season fires their coach at this point.
Did this happen recently in the NBA? I thought that there was something like this.
It may have happened in the
recently.
NBA, but like NHL-wise, I don't know that I remembered this.
Yeah. No, it's wild, man. I mean, so it's, but you're just trying to get like a torts bump here,
I guess.
just let him come in and just start raging immediately and see what happens. That's wild.
Well, look, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, or I guess last week, when they were about to play Vegas. Like, Vegas isn't that good. Vegas is 32, 26, and 16. They lost 16 freaking games in either overtime or shootout, which is why they are where they are in the standings, right? Like, the Predators.
Right.
Have more wins than they do. So they have more wins, more regulation wins than Vegas does. So, like, Vegas has not looked very good all year. And when you've got Eichel and Mitch Marner and Mark Stone and all these guys that they've got, I mean, their goaltending has been atrocious. So that's why they have struggled the way that they've struggled. But I just, I mean, your game, they've played 74 games. They fired their coach. And by the way, like, look, I love John Tortorella. I think he's hilarious.
Sure.
And, you know, he's been a great coach. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's won a Stanley Cup, all those things. I also think that the game may have passed him by a little bit. Like, the last couple of times for him, it hadn't gone very well being a head coach. So, like, is this going to, you know, maybe this is what they need. I don't know. Maybe his style, he comes in and he gets them, you know, play a little bit better defensively and help out their goaltending, and some of their natural offensive talent takes over. Like, this is certainly a more talented roster than he's had to deal with lately. But I don't know. Like, just the last couple of stops for Torts really haven't gone all that well.
I mean, it's almost even weird for him to, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're him, I mean, you'll take a head coaching opportunity. Like you said, it's not like it's like a team devoid of talent either. But also, it's like, it just isn't it? I don't know. I'm not saying it's like demeaning to him, but it's just like, hey, Torts, throw you in here at the end and just see what you can do. I mean, like, realistically, like, what, you know, what can he change up? I mean, it's a different personality, but, like, what's he really going to do? Like, this team, for the most part, you get to this stage of a season and, like, teams kind of are what they are. Obviously, you can get hot, you can get cold, all that stuff, but I don't know, man. I'd love to hear someone, like, what he even thought about. Really? You want to plug me in here with eight games left? Really?
Okay. By the way, like, Bruce Cassidy's a good coach, man. Like, he was a really good coach in Boston, and then he won a Stanley Cup with Vegas. So, I mean, I guess on the one hand, look, you know, I'm not trying to sit here and fire Andrew Burnett before the next general manager comes in, but what I'm saying is, if the next general manager comes in and they want to move on and start over a head coach, well, Bruce Cassidy is out there now, so add another name to the list, I guess.
No, that's a very good point. No, and again, it's like on the flip side of, you know, just plugging in towards like what, like, you know, again, you never know. There's stuff we don't know, right? But, and I understand we have seen in this league the mid-season stuff work, right? But like, what do you think you're going to accomplish here?
I don't know. I mean, look.
And if nothing changes, don't you just look silly?
I mean, right now the series would be Edmonton and Vegas if the playoffs started today. And they just played each other a couple days ago. It was, you know, it was nasty in the game. There's a lot of bad blood. And Edmonton won, right? So, you know, my guess is if I had to pick a playoff result between those two teams right now, I'd pick Edmonton. There may not be a save made in the whole series, right? You know, I mean, I don't know the goalie's going to make a single stop in that series between how bad Vegas' goaltending is and how bad Edmonton's goaltending is. So it could be 9-8 every game. I have no idea. But maybe, I don't know, maybe they looked at it and said, you know, short term, Torch comes in, he fixes the defense real quick, and he can shut down McDavid or something in the first round. I don't know. It's just weird at game 74 that's when they were like, yep, we're going to fire the coach.
Yeah, I actually would like to watch the – has he had an intro press conference? Because I'd like to hear his thoughts on this.
I would too. Now, another thing
he'll
I'll say on
probably get
this,
pissed about like a lot of the questions.
Another thing I'll say about this, and I'll leave this to the eye of the beholder. If it's a good thing, if it's a bad thing, whatever it is, but it's played out this way since they've come in. This is another example of Vegas just being absolutely ruthless in the way that they operate, right? And, you know, I saw Frank Saravalli talk about this yesterday. It's absolutely ruthless. They don't care about loyalty to a player. They don't care about loyalty to a coach. They are willing to involve themselves in every possible trade scenario that's out there. They don't care. Like, they're only concerned about winning. And Joe, to this point, it's worked out pretty well for him. I mean, they haven't been around that long. They've been to two Stanley Cup finals. They've won one Stanley Cup. So it's worked out pretty well for him. Now, at some point, they're going to get burned, and they're going to go through a stretch where they're not very good, and I'm interested to see what that looks like. But, like, just stylistically, I can't think of many different organizations, or I guess organizations that operate much differently than, like, Vegas does, and, like, the Predators and the way that they've historically operated. And, again, I'm not saying one way's better, one way's not, but I'll leave that up to the eye of the beholder. It's just – it's an interesting observation that this is yet another example of Vegas just being like, yeah, we don't care about any of that other stuff. We just care about cutthroat winning. That's it.
Well, I would argue that at least a little bit of that wouldn't be too bad to adopt if you're the Nashville Predators.
Yes, I would agree. Maybe not fully.
Like, yeah.
You know.
Maybe not fully.
But goodness.
There's probably a balance, just like with a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Probably is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Predators. Plus, Titans fans, what wide receiver do you want in the draft? Feels like it ain't happening at number four. So what wide receiver do you want in the NFL draft? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Back in Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Cruz Martin bringing in some Creed here on the program, which I'm very thankful for. May not be the last one we get today, Joe.
Wow, that's really nice. Just making a Monday morning that much sweeter. It's very good Monday morning music.
Gosh, you're so disrespectful. It's unbelievable. So disrespectful to Creed.
I mean, I've tried
Scott
to.
Stapp.
Yeah, no, I've tried to. I try not to bring them up. You know, it's really the. It just gets put thrown in my face.
It does.
So,
that I can't deny.
I'm just sitting here trying to mind my own business, man. You know, trying to listen to some Hall notes.
We'll have the Rob Rant coming up here in a few minutes. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. Our football offseason coverage. Here on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Locally brewed, community-driven, Tennessee Brew Works, the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe, it doesn't feel like receiver is going to happen at number four. Now, I guess I could be wrong about that, but all the momentum seems to suggest, you know, David Bailey, Jeremiah Love, maybe Arvell Reese, maybe Sonny Styles, somebody in that mold when it comes to number four overall. And I think all of us would agree the Titans still need work to be done at wide receiver. Even though you brought in Wandale Robinson, you kept Calvin Ridley around, you've got Io Manor, you've got Chim Dike. You still need another, in my opinion, young guy involved in that mix there. And at some point, they're going to have to find, you know, the young, up-and-coming number one wide receiver. So my question is, if you're a Titans fan, which receiver do you want heading into the draft? Now, Joe, I threw that out there. We immediately got a couple votes for Chris Brazel. Kyle in Shelbyville says that. Another texter said, Chris Brazel, just run Hail Marys with him. One texter says, hey, if Jordan Tyson falls in the late 20s, I'd trade up to go get him. You know, Brazel, I'm cool with. I think he'll be there and in that range at number 35. I tell you the guy that I keep coming back to, and I brought it up with TD a couple of weeks ago, and I know that there are Titans fans that are just going to immediately roll their eyes at this because he's coming off an injury, so I get it. Now, I think pre-injury, you're looking at a guy that's like 6'3", 220 pounds, runs really well, that's probably going in the first round. So if he's there at 35, I'd at least thinking about it, and that's Chris Bell out of Louisville. And, Joe, we've talked a little bit about him. You know, maybe the ACL stuff scares you off. I don't know. Like maybe it's not worth going at 35 if that's the case. But from a physical profile standpoint, he is he's very intriguing to me. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, Brugler has him at 53, but said he's about 20 spots higher before the torn ACL. I mean, to me, you know, unless there's something beyond a torn ACL, I'm not really scared off by a torn ACL anymore. Right?
Used to be. Like, now it's – I mean, I don't want to say it's routine, but it kind of is in the NFL.
It's pretty close to routine. Again, unless there's – you know, sometimes you have – well, it's like people thought that Last week was doing like Nebraska basketball stuff, and everybody thought this the big guy for them had an ACL. Well, no, actually, he had like, he had dead tissue in his knee and needed like cartilage from a cadaver, like, or you have the degenerative stuff from like Legarius Sneed, and like if it's just a straight up, straightforward torn ACL, he's gonna be fine. I mean, like it's just, especially I think a skill guy. We also talk about sometimes, okay, the bigger guys, they could still, at least that's a longer recovery time. You might have like a year where you're not totally yourself, but no, I think he is, and that could be a value pick. And I know that's a J. Rob special, but again, I think he's a good player. Brazel, I'm not like against Brazel. I have there's a little, just a little bit of the scheme stuff, and I know he has fought hard against that, and pointing out that, first of all, watch the routes he's run that they've added to the route tree. It's not straight up just choice routes all day. Either do a comeback or a go route, but it's still different. Like it's, there's that. I mean, 6'5". He
Six
can
five and he runs a
fly.
4.37. He ran faster than I thought he would at the combine.
Yeah, like I mean, I'm not mad at that pick. I mean, I think Jeremy Bernard is another good player too, for Alabama. I mean, there's a lot of players who could be around there. Like, would a okay? I just don't like the idea of trading up at all. I just don't like the idea of giving up picks. It's an interesting thought. Like, if Tyson's sitting there, do you go get him if you think that much of him? Is it possible like an Omar Cooper falls to 35? I mean, it seems like no. Seems like a lot of people expect him to go like late first range, but that's another guy who, yeah, now he's only, he's 6 foot, 204. Good player. There is an Indiana thing for me, and maybe this is not being fair, but it's like it's such a sum of the parts great team that I do think some of the parts might be overvalued here as we get into the draft.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there's, and again, you're looking at receiver. Brazel could be there. Bernard could be there. Maybe Cooper ends up being there. We've got one texter talking about, screw receiver, go get Eli Stowers from Vanderbilt and, just go put him out wide. Maybe.
I
I mean,
don't
that
hate
could be
it.
the way that goes too. I mean, I'm looking at, I guess, Brugler's latest and trying to see where Stowers is. He's at 62 to the Broncos. So, maybe that's a little rich for Eli Stowers, who, by the way, we talk about testing well at the NFL Combine. He tested very well. I think he's going to be good in the NFL. Do you take him at
Yeah.
35?
He's also virtually a genius. I don't know how much that helps you in the NFL, but I mean, it's something.
Can't hurt.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's going to be a weapon for somebody. There's no doubt about it. There's also the other Indiana guy, Eli Surratt, but I think that he's probably more of a late second, third round kind of guy. I mean, there's a lot of receivers. That's the thing. Like, you can, we talk 35. Okay, well, you could go on with the next pick, and I'll tell you a guy who he's little, but I really like him is Zachariah Branch out of Georgia. Now you get into guys like that. You get into guys like Brennan Thompson from Mississippi State, who runs like a 3.940 or whatever the heck he did. Now again, you're talking 5.9 170. So, I mean, that's is that think about like the difference between like that and then like a Brazel, who, is 8 inches taller and like 50 pounds heavier and still runs just a little bit slower than Brennan Thompson.
I would kind of like whoever it is, whoever they take, whether it's Brazel or whoever. I'd like him to be, kind of in that 6'3", 6'4" range because they've got Wandale Robinson
They got
already,
Robinson
and
now.
Chim Dike is not the biggest guy either. What's he, 6'1"? Yeah, he's 6'1", 195. I mean, 6'1"'s not small, but you're talking about, a couple of guys that you can put in the slot already. I'd like the next receiver that they draft to be one of those 6'4", 6'3" type of dudes rather than, 5'11", 6', 6'1", somewhere in that neighborhood.
No, I agree. You've got your gadget kind of guy in Brazel and or Brazel in Robinson. So Yeah, go out there and it's like I'm for this basically any sport, It's like college basketball now, the Final Four. It's like these teams are huge. These are some of the hugest teams in the country are here on the final weekend. It's not a coincidence. I'm for if you have receivers who can go out there and just absolutely punk people. Think about the Titans a few years ago when they had Jonnu Smith along with like Derrick Henry and then AJ Brown's physicality at receiver,
Massive. Yep.
Corey David. Like it's like they're like just big badasses who are hard to tackle. That's a good thing to have.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on wide receiver. We have the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Cruz Martin here with you on this Monday morning. It's time for the Rob Rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Joe, I want to start today with more news from the National Football League that just leaves me scratching my head and wanting to pick up this TV remote I've got in my hand and throw it collectively through the TV screen in here. Let me read the opening couple of graphs here. From this story at The Athletic by Saad Youssef and Andrew Marchand, friend of the show. Preseason games might no longer be as easy to find in local markets. The NFL is considering allowing teams to sell preseason games along with original shows to streaming platforms, a league source confirmed to The Athletic. The details are still to be sorted out, but the idea is expected to be discussed at the league meetings in Arizona, which is this week. One thing currently unclear is whether the streaming platform to which a team sells its game will have exclusive rights or if the game will also be allowed to be aired on local channels as well. It talks about in this piece, Joe, that could be, very beneficial if you're the Cowboys or you're the Chicago Bears or you're one of these very popular teams in the NFL, while less popular teams might have trouble selling to services like Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, and the like. So if there's one thing I've loved about the NFL, Joe, it's the freaking preseason, right? We already have too much of it anyway. But at least you know where it's going to be. Like, Corey Curtis is going to be dressed up in a beautiful outfit, standing on the sidelines for News 2, and he's going to be helping call the games out there. We can get into the fact that people still have to pay, darn near a normal amount of money, like it's an NFL regular season game, to go to a preseason game where not real football is being played. So there's all that stuff going on. But you know what we really need to do? Let's start selling preseason games to like Netflix and stuff like that so we can just make this more difficult to watch in the preseason. It's just, at some point, I understand the money part of it. We've talked about this with the NFL. I mean, they're looking to find ways to make even more money, and they've darn near tapped out here in the United States. So that's why they're doing all this international stuff, and I get that. It's not going to change. We can yell about it all we want. It's not going to change. But why, like, at some point, do you not look at it and say, hey, guys, it's the preseason? Like, do we really need to make this more complicated than it already is? I mean, they're about to go to an 18th game, Joe, so I guess you're only going to have to be dealing with two preseason games here pretty soon at some point. But I read this over the weekend and legitimately rolled my eyes. I was like, oh my God. Like, am I going to have to go like sign up for some Peacock, subscription to go watch the Titans in the preseason? It's ridiculous.
It's just, it's like the greed to the point where you're just trying to squeeze every last cent out of everything. When again, like you're just printing money already. Like this goes to the whole theme of like we just talked last week. It's like this perma rant of are you sure you don't want it to be affordable for like kids and families who aren't wealthy to go to your games? Because I think that might be how you build fan bases. So gee, it's kind of nice to be able to at least flip on the television and watch a channel that you already have available to you to watch the local football team. But hey, good luck. I mean, I'm sure the Titans could sell to what, like Dog Network or MTV2? What are they looking at here? Noggin? Like what channel would be jumping all over the Titans preseason streaming? I mean,
Well, and my
it's
guess is,
just
like, I know they say in this
these
piece,
people are absolute ghouls.
and I know they say in these piece, like, it's unclear as to whether or not it would be, if it would be streaming platform only, or if it'll be allowed to be aired on local channels. But I don't know why the streaming platforms would do it if it's not going to be on their rights only, right? Like, so it's like,
Yeah.
it's amazing to me that we're talking about preseason streaming of football games on like Netflix and Amazon and all this other stuff.
No, it's embarrassing. Again, like, is anybody going to, raise their hand? The owners' meetings this week, right? Is PK going to be like coming to us from like Arizona as he feeds Tom Pelissero his eggs? Is that what we're having this week?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, it's just a.
I think it's the owners' weekend this week. So,
Yeah.
like someone like. Maybe someone there raise your hand and be like, "Hey guys, why do we have to be total a-holes?" It really is embarrassing. The whole 18 game thing, we understand that, right? Like, we knew it was coming. That was inevitable. And there's gonna be a fight. There's gonna be all this haggling about that and stuff. But again, in the meantime, it's like the internet between the international stuff and every single like every month there's a new story like this about again trying to squeeze every last penny out of everything, and it's exhausting.
One texter says Titans will use Teemu just like Cam Ward did for that documentary. Did that documentary ever actually happen? I didn't see it. I'm not
That's
a,
a good
I will
question.
freely admit I'm not a regular Teemu viewer, so maybe it was on there and I just didn't see it. But I never really heard anything about it.
I never did either. Was it supposed? Yeah, because it was supposed to come out in the fall, right?
Yeah, I guess so. One
Or did
text.
they? Are they editing still? Like, did they go through the rookie season, and that's why it hasn't come out yet?
Maybe it has. If it did, I
Or it
just
has?
missed it. I
If
don't
you've seen it, let us know. I'm iced out of the text line, so I'm counting on you, Robbie.
Okay.
I'm iced out of everything.
One texter says, "Hey, Robbie, nobody has to pay to watch preseason games. Things might change if people just quit watching. No fans, no money. The teams will win or lose whether or not the fans watch. And with free agency the way it is now, there's no sense of loyalty with us fans." Well, I hear all that. I think the one thing we know, which is why these decisions keep getting made, Joe, is for whatever reason, people will just do it, right? Like, it's like people actually watch, to some degree, the Pro Bowl that goes on, which may be the biggest nod to the NFL of all, that people actually still watch like these Pro Bowl games that happen and they rate reasonably well.
Yeah, it's depressing, but it's true. I don't really get the point about free agency. Like, I mean, we're talking decades of, I mean, free, like, I mean, like, are you mad at Curt Flood? Like, I mean, like, it's pretty established now that in pro sports, people go and they go on the market. And I mean, I don't think loyalty to a team was ever really a thing. It was just that you were just held there and you weren't able to go out and be in the open market. But other than that, I hear you.
One texter says, Trevor says, "Who's going to officiate these games? Replacement officials? Seems like it's heading that way." It does feel that way.
Well,
Apparently,
there's that too.
the NFL, I saw Russini put this out there yesterday, Joe. Apparently, the NFL has instructed their teams basically to not comment on the official situation going on. So we'll see if there's any resolution on that between now and the beginning of the season.
I'm sure Jerry Jones will keep his mouth shut this week at the owners'
Oh, I'm sure.
meetings.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will. He'll abide by that
Sure,
wish.
that won't come up at all this week. C from Franklin says, "I think they canceled the documentary before, just as it was going into production." And by the way, I said Teemu because I was reading the text. I think that documentary was going on Tubi, so there's that. I don't watch it either.
Yeah, Temu, isn't that like where you can like buy like a gold chain for like $5 or something?
Yeah. By the way, now we have conflicting reports. Some people say it's out there. It's on Tubi for free. Came out. Trevor says it aired December 4th of 2025. So there you go. Go fire up Tubi, and it's there to watch, apparently.
Okay, so someone says you can watch it, and someone else just said it got canceled.
I don't know.
Who has watched it? Has someone actually watched it? And if so, is it good?
Good to know. We'd love to know. 615
Yeah, let us know.
737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We will get into the Titans, the Predators, the NCAA tournament with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.